You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now, a message from CyberBit. Mastering cybersecurity is like mastering a sport. You build muscle memory through rigorous practice, then you train as a team to foster cohesion while operating under pressure. Like athletes, cybersecurity professionals thrive on hands-on simulation. But traditional courses, certifications, and open-source labs won't build you a winning team. You need CyberBit. CyberBit offers a hyper-realistic simulation environment for your SOC, IR, and C-suite to refine your skills, all using the market-leading SIEMs, EDRs, firewalls, and WAFs they use every day. CyberBit is offering CyberWire listeners a free live fire exercise. Sign up your team now at cyberbit.com/cyberwire. The Cyber Safety Review Board hands Microsoft a scathing report. Jackson County, Missouri declares a state of emergency following a ransomware attack. The concerning growth of Chinese brands in U.S. critical infrastructure. Malware campaigns make use of YouTube. OWASP issues a data breach warning. Trend Micro tracks Lockbit's faltering rebound. India's government cloud service leaks personal data. ChatGPT jailbreak spread on popular hacker forums. On our Learning Layer segment, host Sam Meisenberg and Joe Kerrigan continue their discussion of Joe's CISSP study journey and focus on the when and how of studying for Domain 1. And you can no longer just walk out of an Amazon grocery store. It's Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Thank you for joining us here today. It is great to have you with us. In a scathing report released yesterday, the Biden administration's Cyber Safety Review Board criticized Microsoft for security failings that allowed Chinese hackers to infiltrate email accounts of top U.S. officials, including Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo. The board highlighted Microsoft's inadequate security culture and practices, contributing to breaches affecting U.S. agencies dealing with China. It asserted the intrusion, identified in June and originating in May, was avoidable, stemming from a series of Microsoft's errors, and called for an overhaul of the tech giant's security approach due to its critical role in global infrastructure. The board recommended halting feature additions to Microsoft's cloud computing until significant security enhancements are made, and urged for a transparent, security-focused reform plan. The breach compromised 22 organizations and over 500 individuals globally, including the U.S. ambassador to China, with 60,000 emails from the State Department downloaded. Additionally, the board criticized Microsoft for misleading public statements and a culture that sidelines security investment and risk management, alongside expressing concerns over a separate hack attributed to Russian hackers. Microsoft acknowledged the need for a new security engineering culture and pledged to harden its system against attacks. We note that Microsoft is a CyberWire partner, but we cover them just like we do any other company. Jackson County, Missouri has declared a state of emergency and indefinitely shut down major offices after a suspected ransomware attack disrupted its IT systems, affecting services like tax payments, marriage licenses, and inmate searches. Although the attack coincided with a special election, the electoral offices remained unaffected. This incident adds to the growing number of ransomware attacks targeting local governments, with 28 such incidents reported this year. Jackson County, with a population of 654,000, is actively investigating the breach with cybersecurity partners to ascertain the attack's nature and extent. County Executive Frank White Jr. has highlighted the potential financial implications and emphasized the need for protective measures for resident data and county assets while maintaining essential services. Law enforcement and IT security contractors have been engaged to assist in the investigation and recovery efforts. Forescout Videra Labs reports a concerning 40% year-over-year increase in Chinese-made devices within U.S. networks, notably critical infrastructure sectors, despite official bans. The study underscores the presence of banned Hikvision and Dahua cameras in government networks and widespread use of Yealink voice-over IP phones, highlighting a significant security vulnerability. With sectors such as manufacturing, healthcare, and financial services showing substantial increases in Chinese device usage, the potential for remote access and tampering by the Chinese government poses a significant threat. Nearly 300,000 devices from 473 Chinese manufacturers were identified in U.S. networks as of February 2024, marking a 41% increase from the previous year. This growth emphasizes the risks associated with the expanding footprint of Chinese technology in essential services, with concerns over espionage, sabotage, and exploitation of software vulnerabilities. Forescout's findings call for heightened vigilance and a reassessment of cybersecurity measures in safeguarding critical infrastructure against sophisticated cyber threats. Hackers are exploiting YouTube channels, often associated with cracked or pirated video games, to distribute malware such as Vidar, SteelSea, and LumaStealer, according to Proofpoint researchers. These malicious campaigns utilize video descriptions to guide users to external sites where malware is downloaded, targeting particularly popular games among younger audiences. Proofpoint's investigation uncovered more than 24 such accounts, which YouTube has since removed. The platform employs a mix of machine learning and human review to enforce its guidelines against malicious content. The malware distribution is facilitated primarily through MediaFire URLs, but Discord links have also been implicated. This campaign, difficult to attribute to any specific threat actor, appears designed to target non-enterprise individual users likely to possess sensitive personal information valuable to attackers. Despite YouTube's efforts, including the removal of over 20 million channels in the fourth quarter of last year for policy violations, the challenge of policing content and protecting users from these sorts of threats persists. The Open Worldwide Application Security Project, better known as OWASP, has issued a warning to its members who joined between 2006 and 2014 about a data breach stemming from a misconfigured old Wiki web server, leading to the potential exposure of personal information contained in resumes. This misconfiguration allowed unauthorized access to names, email addresses, phone numbers, and physical addresses of members who had provided their resumes as part of the membership process. The breach was identified in late February following support requests, prompting OWASP to take immediate remedial action. Measures included disabling directory browsing, reconfiguring the web server, removing resumes, and purging cache data. OWASP has since enhanced its security protocols and no longer collects resumes, minimizing future data collection to essential information only. Efforts to contact affected members are underway, particularly those whose data may still be current and at risk of being used for scam purposes. After the international law enforcement operation, dubbed Operation Kronos, disrupted the Lockbit ransomware gang in February, the group is struggling to regain its footing. Despite efforts to recover, including the quick establishment of new .onion domains, Trend Micro reports that Lockbit's rebound is faltering. The operation, led by the UK's National Crime Agency, seized domains, source code, and decryption keys, also arresting two suspected members. Law enforcement's strategic use of Lockbit's own leak site to publish agency press releases and decryption keys, coupled with a personalized warning to gang affiliates, has severely damaged Lockbit's reputation. The gang's distinct brand, a key asset in the ransomware community, has been notably undermined, affecting their recovery efforts. Furthermore, Lockbit's operator was banned from prominent hacker forums, significantly hindering the group's operations. This takedown has not only debilitated Lockbit, but also induced paranoia and self-reflection among other ransomware groups, potentially marking a novel approach in combating cybercriminal organizations. A significant cybersecurity flaw in the Indian government's cloud service, SWAS, led to the exposure of sensitive citizen data, including Aadhaar numbers, COVID-19 vaccination records, and passport details. Security researcher Surajit Majumdar discovered the misconfiguration in 2022, which allowed this data to be accessible online and indexed by search engines. Despite reporting the issue to India's CERT-IN and with the support from the Internet Freedom Foundation, personal information continued to leak as recently as last week. Efforts by TechCrunch to highlight the unresolved exposures prompted action, resulting in the removal of the exposed data from public access. However, the full extent of the leak remains unclear, raising concerns about potential identity theft, discrimination, and the urgent need for security reforms in government data handling. ChatGPT jailbreaks, tools for bypassing OpenAI's content and safety policies, are increasingly prevalent on hacker forums nearly 2 years after ChatGPT's release. These tactics enable cybercriminals to create phishing emails and other malicious content. Mike Britton from Abnormal Security noted a rise in detailed discussions on cybercrime forums about specific jailbreaking prompts, with some forums even dedicating sections to AI misuse. State-sponsored groups and other threat actors are using ChatGPT for various malicious activities, including social engineering and vulnerability research. Abnormal Security's analysis reveals that jailbreaking ChatGPT is primarily used for launching sophisticated social engineering attacks at scale. The company highlighted 5 common jailbreak prompts and suggested that organizations incorporate defenses against adversarial generative AI into their cyber strategies. Despite OpenAI's efforts to curb misuse by strengthening ChatGPT's adherence to safety guidelines, the adaptability of threat actors poses ongoing challenges in preventing malicious use of generative AI technologies. Coming up after the break, on our Learning Layer segment, Sam Meisenberg and Joe Kerrigan are back to discuss Joe's CISSP study journey. Stay with us. Every day, your IAM tech debt grows. Your multi-generational services struggle to work together. Building an identity fabric can fix this. It makes all your identity tooling stronger and allows you to connect any app to any service you want to use, with zero coding, zero maintenance, and zero app downtime. Strata's identity orchestration platform separates the identity logic from your applications, so you can optimize existing IAM tools and manage them in a single control plane. Now, every vendor, standard, and architecture work together. In short, building your identity fabric means you can secure your non-standard apps, keep your complex access policies, retire outdated IDPs, and modernize in record time. So build your fabric with Strata Identity and get rid of tech debt for good. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity priorities, and receive a pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business. On our latest Learning Layers segment, our host, Sam Meisenberg, joins Joe Kerrigan to continue their discussion of Joe's CISSP study journey, focusing on the when and how of studying for Domain 1.
Welcome back to another Learning Layer segment. In this segment, we are continuing our conversation with Joe Kerrigan as he gets geared up for his CISSP. So Joe, where we left things is that you took the diagnostic, you got the results, talked a little bit about the results, went a little deep into one of the questions. Now the question is, what do you do next? Meaning you have all this data that hopefully is helpful. Now you got to study.
Right.
So how are you going to study?
Well, I am probably just going to go through 1 through 8.
Okay.
And again, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It just sounds intuitive to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did okay on the first domain, the security and risk management domain. I got a 70 out of all those questions on the diagnostic. But so there in the training materials, there are three main pieces. There's the book as a reading assignment, and then there's a series of lectures that are broken down into small, digestible pieces, and then there's one big lecture at the end, which you should probably dedicate 2 hours to watching.
So it's interesting because in some weird way, the content is structured in a way that you can actually sort of like tell yourself a story about the material. So meaning like domain one, security and risk management, that's kind of like the framework for how we deal with cybersecurity at an organization. It kind of starts at the top. You think about business requirements, you think about business impacts, and then security kind of flows from there.
Right.
So in a way, it does make sense maybe to at least start with domain one because, again, it's the starting place for cybersecurity.
Yeah, I think it might be the case that the ISC squared organization has thought about this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think I'm being facetious there. It's obvious that they've thought about this. And
yeah.
What you're saying is, you know, when we talk about domain, what should we worry about first? Well, the first thing is why even have a cybersecurity program?
Mm-hmm.
What's your point in having that? Okay, that's a good question. And here's the business recommendation or the business need for it. Then it kind of breaks out into the individual areas.
Right.
But this, domain one is the overarching area. And it does contain a lot of also risk management, which is kind of a higher level of thinking, I think, in terms of management styles. You know, it's not something that that the SOC analyst really thinks about,
yep.
Right? It's something that it might not even be something that a SOC manager thinks about.
Mm-hmm,
it's mm-hmm. something that somebody who is pretty high up the food chain has to start thinking about and worrying about.
And that's why this exam is so challenging, right? It's a mix of technical content with
yep.
managerial content.
Managerial content.
So you got to kind of think like a manager when you're approaching a lot of these questions and sort of, as you said, like don't answer like a SOC analyst. Answer like the SOC analyst's boss's boss's boss and the things that they care about.
Right.
So we're starting with domain one. Let's talk about some, like, you know, maybe obvious logistics, but maybe some people don't think about when they are starting to study. So here's the hardest one. When are you going to study? Meaning, how many hours are you dedicating a week, and when does that studying actually happen? I mean, you're a busy guy.
I am.
You
remarkably busy.
Have
yeah.
a family. You
uh-huh.
got, like, 4 cats, 2 dogs.
Only 3 cats.
Okay, 3 cats.
3 cats, 2 dogs.
Dude, a lot of stuff happening.
Right.
You're a busy guy. So when are you going to carve out the time?
I'm going to make the time.
Okay.
Recently I've kind of moved away from a lot of my other activities. Like, I don't spend a lot of time watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
I have completely stopped playing video games, which I really enjoy doing.
Sure.
But Yeah, it's I don't have time for that anymore.
Yeah, and you have to make sacrifices, right? Like something has to go. And also, it's short term. It's not like you're never going to play a video game.
Yeah, I didn't uninstall the games.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
still on my PC.
You'll play after as a way to celebrate.
After. Right. After I have my CISSP, I'm getting on Fortnite.
And that's right. Here I am, a CISSP official right. certified online. They're not going to know what hit them. So we sort of have the when. And the sort of how. I'm curious also, again, another practical thing to think about, where are you going to study? Like, where physically are you carving out the space in the same way that you would carve out the time?
Fortunate enough that I have essentially like an office/lab at home.
Okay.
Which has a bunch of computers in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's only two that are, there's my main Windows tower, and then I have a Linux tower underneath of that, and mm-hmm. I'm building a third one that's going to be, I think it's going to be Proxmox. So I have the space. The space really isn't an issue. I have a desk. I have mm-hmm. A computer. I have multiple monitors. So I'm good to go there. That's not really an issue for me. I can absolutely understand somebody trying to do this on a laptop in
right.
their living room. I feel for you.
Yeah.
Because I've been in that position.
Yeah.
And I can't do this.
Right. And I think my question behind the question for those who are listening who may not be in the same situation as Joe, I think my point is you have to have a dedicated space to study.
Yes.
Like even just the like walking in with the mindset that I'm going to be super focused for an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, a half an hour, how much you can manage, and just having a dedicated space that's part of your study routine.
Because
mm-hmm. as you said, you're not going to do it unless you carve out the time. And I think having a physical space, ideally with a lot of windows, yes, there's real, it's not surprising, it makes sense, but there's real learning science data that shows sunlight is actually really good for knowledge retention and focus. So, ideally, some sort of dedicated space, maybe with some windows that you can kind of walk back into and get in that mindset and saying, I'm going to focus, I'm going to study.
That's interesting. I have, in my home lab, I have an eastern-facing window.
Okay.
So in the morning, it gets all the sun. At work, it faces north. So the sun never comes into my office.
Interesting.
At work. So...
Don't study at work.
I won't. I don't know that I have time to study
right,
at work.
Right, right.
Maybe I will. If I'm at lunch, I'll probably watch a couple videos.
Nice. But. So I feel like we have an overall structure. We have an overall flow. It's time to get started and dive in, as you said, with Domain 1. So, Joe, next time we'll talk, we'll hear about how Domain 1 studies are going.
All right.
That's my N2K CyberWire colleague, Sam Meisenberg, speaking with my Hacking Humans co-host, Joe Kerrigan. Are lengthy security reviews pulling attention away from your security program? With the largest network of trust centers, Vanta can help you streamline security reviews to win customer trust, save time, and close deals fast. Proactively demonstrate security by showcasing key resources like your SOC 2 or ISO 27001, and provide real-time evidence for passing controls. And when a security questionnaire is required, Vanta takes the first pass for you. Visit vanta.com/cyber to take a self-serve tour. That's vanta.com/cyber. And finally, Amazon is discontinuing its Just Walk Out technology in Amazon Fresh grocery stores, shifting towards using Amazon Dash carts and self-checkout counters. Initially celebrated for automating the checkout process via cameras and sensors, Just Walk Out required significant human intervention, with over 1,000 employees in India reviewing footage for accurate checkouts. The system also faced challenges such as delayed receipt delivery and did not meet Amazon's internal efficiency goals, contrary to expectations. In contrast, Dash carts provide a more direct and reliable shopping experience. While the Just Walk Out technology will remain in a limited number of UK stores and Amazon Go convenience stores, this pivot suggests Amazon's ongoing adjustment in its strategy to solidify its footprint in the grocery market beyond its ownership of Whole Foods and amidst competition from larger grocery retailers. For me, while I have not personally experienced Amazon's Just Walk Out technology, I've used a similar system at my local Apple store, finding what I need on a shelf, scanning it in the Apple Store app on my phone, paying in the app, and then just leaving. Maybe it's the shape of things to come, but for this kid who grew up in the 80s, it feels weird, like I'm waiting for a giant cage to drop out of the ceiling or a burly security guard to wrestle me to the ground. It's like leaving a party without saying goodbye. Feels odd. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Iben and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow.